News from CBS, next at 7 here on WCCO Minneapolis-St. Paul, a Minnesota tradition.
CBS News, I'm Vicki Kelly. The chaos in China is prompting concern for Americans there. Some of the largest multinational companies in this country, IBM and Chrysler, are telling their American workers to pack their bags and come home. And the State Department is asking American students in Beijing to leave the university campuses and head for hotels. Jerry Teefee of Minneapolis has a daughter studying in Beijing.
She tells me she doesn't want to leave.
What are you telling her?
Yeah.
To come home. She's saying she wants to see, you know, if it's going to settle down. And I just told her to come home. Everybody here wants her to come home.
President Bush has suspended all U.S. military sales to China, indicating that economic sanctions would be going too far. His plan has won bipartisan support in Congress. Among his supporters, Republican Congressman Henry Hyde of Illinois.
The president's posture is one we think is wise and prudent, and everyone is engaged in very careful, watchful waiting.
All eyes are on the military's next move, and there are signs that battle lines are being drawn between units who want to enforce martial law and those who do not. There is a report that some fighting has broken out in southern areas of Beijing, but it's not known if the fighting is between troops and civilians or if it's fighting within the military. Communist Party officials in Poland are conceding defeat to Solidarity candidates in yesterday's parliamentary elections. Results are not final yet. The Communist Party is expected to remain in control of the legislature. Funeral services today in Tallahassee for Congressman Claude Pepper.
Wing low.
Rick Flagg reports.
It was a final tribute to Congressman Claude Pepper, and Pepper himself had planned the service right down to the arrangement of the songs. As many as 1,000 gathered in Tallahassee's First Baptist Church to say farewell, including former Governor Reuben Askew.
He wanted to help people overcome the obstacles others placed before them. Now think of that great civil rights hymn, "We Shall Overcome." He did.
Pepper was remembered as a man ahead of his time, someone who overcame bigotry in the Old South and rose to greatness, then used his power to become a champion of the underdog. The congressman was buried with full military honors, his final resting place just a few blocks from the building where Pepper began his political career 61 years ago. Rick Flagg for CBS News, Tallahassee.
The European Space Agency has launched an upgraded Ariane rocket from French Guiana. It's carrying two communication satellites into orbit. A down day on Wall Street, the Dow lost 37 points, closing at 2480. At 3 minutes after the hour, this is CBS News.
It's coming up to 8 minutes after 7 o'clock, and we'll have Twins baseball tonight, by the way, at 8:40 is when our pregame coverage. But in the meantime, we have a special presentation from CCO Radio News. Until that pregame time at 8:40 tonight, Rich Holter is by my side. Good evening, Rich.
Good evening, Denny.
A special look at the crisis in China this evening.
It certainly is. We have a continuing crisis in China. Americans have been watching intently for the past 2 weeks, as we all know, as the Soviet-China summit was transformed into a mass cry for democracy inside China. Now, the stage for thousands of demonstrating students and their supporters was Tiananmen Square in Beijing. And for 2 weeks, the students seemed to be having things their way at a standoff with what appeared to be a government in disarray. A government apparently not knowing what to do in response to the call for democracy in China. However, on Saturday night, the students came face to face with thousands of Chinese army troops and the reality that many had expected to come earlier. The first word of the massacre came surprisingly from Radio Beijing, as monitored on shortwave by Tom Gavaris of the WCCO Radio News staff. It was 11 p.m. Saturday.
This is Radio Beijing. Please remember June the 3rd, 1989. The most tragic event happened in the Chinese capital, Beijing. Thousands of people, most of them innocent civilians, were killed by fully armed soldiers when they forced their way into the city. Among the killed are our colleagues at Radio Beijing. The soldiers were riding on armored vehicles and used machine guns against thousands of local residents and students who tried to block their way. When the army convoys made a breakthrough, soldiers continued to spray their bullets indiscriminately at crowds in the street. Eyewitnesses say some armored vehicles even crushed foot soldiers who hesitated in front of the resisting civilians. Radio Beijing English Department. Deeply mourns boss died in a tragic incident and appeals to all its listeners to join our protest for the gross violation of human rights and the most barbarous suppression of the people. Because of the abnormal situation here in Beijing, there was no other news we could bring you. We sincerely ask for your understanding and thank you for joining us at this most tragic moment.
The Chinese Foreign Minister Chen Qicheng met with the excellent president.
That was 11 p.m. Saturday, Denny. The first words of what happened in Tiananmen Square from Radio Beijing, a journalist who was replaced and probably never to be heard from again because the story has been quite different from the government since that time onward. We're looking at a developing situation in China, one that changes hour by hour. We've heard today about continued gunfire in Beijing. We've heard about army troops possibly defecting, burning their own vehicles. We've heard about them turning weapons over to students and their supporters, possible defection. There's talk now, words civil war come to people's lips, and whether this will go that far, we have to wait and see. But things are continuing. The violence continues. The shooting continues. We have Americans inside China. People here are worried about them. We will talk this evening to a father whose daughter is now staying at a Japanese hotel in downtown Beijing. She has a ticket to leave the country, doesn't know how she'll get to the airport. And Robert Hall of Edina is not pleased with the reaction he's gotten from the State Department. We'll be here for about an hour and 40 minutes tonight prior to Twins baseball. And in our first half hour, we have a couple of guests in our WCC radio studios, Denny. First of all, we have Wu Yang, who's a former University of Minnesota graduate student. The U of M, by the way, has the largest Chinese student population in the U.S. I think it's about 600. Is that correct, Wu Yang?
I think we'll be more than 600.
About 800?
700 to 800.
Also joining us, Denny, Professor Ted Farmer, chair of the East Asian Studies Department at the University of Minnesota. He teaches modern Chinese history. Professor, welcome.
Good evening.
I don't know where to start in a story like this. I guess we have to start at this moment and maybe work backwards from this point because things are changing so rapidly. Wu Yang, what have you heard today? What new has come your way?
Well, the latest information, what I acquired from the Peking is the army going to launch the major attack, you know, in the one of the universities. Probably, I guess, with Beijing University. And the rumors say that the civil war already occurred, and you guys probably already know that 38th Army, they surrounding the Beijing. But this army is very, you know, have long-term friendship with people in Beijing. Obviously, they don't want, you know, to kill people, have any, you know, hostile with the people in Beijing. So Deng Xiaoping and General Yang, who he is president of the People's Republic, he ordered the troops from the Inner Mongolian and the west, southwest of China to get into the Beijing. So that will be in a confront each other now. So that's the latest information. So the civil war will occur in any second, I would say, not any hour, you know.
There seems to be a terrible conflict within the military of China right now. Professor? Mm-hmm.
It's been clear for some time that the leadership is split, both in the party and in the military, and it's taken them weeks now to gear up a reaction to this popular student demonstration. And that's clearly because there are factions within the party. Deng Xiaoping is supposed to control the military. He controls the military commission, but he's had trouble lining up generals, and they've obviously had to go out to the west to get people who will do their bidding. Now other elements in the army are opposing that.
I'm going to ask a question that I asked to Senator Boschwitz this afternoon, and I got a quite surprising answer. When this all started, when it began, and we were watching Dan Rather standing in Tiananmen Square debating about whether or not they would continue the coverage after the Gorbachev summit ended, when we saw CNN doing the same with Chinese officials that appeared totally lost, unable to handle what was going on around them, I said at that point, this can't go on too long. You don't poke a dog with a stick for too long before he turns around and bites you. Therefore, personally, this what happened Saturday came as no surprise to me. What surprised me was that we had waited so long to see it happen, possibly more bloody than any of us might have expected, but the fact that it happened seemed a surety to me.
Yeah, sure. The leadership obviously had two strategies. One they were following to some extent by their own inaction. The student demonstrations were losing momentum, and the students were beginning to dwindle away. And that kind of a strategy was working. The other option, to sort of move in and clear the students out, was one they could have used at any time. But the fact that they've chosen the most provocative measures, that is, use of excessive force, randomly killing people, trying to terrorize the entire population of the city, I think that's a major mistake, a tremendous miscalculation. They've galvanized the people of China as never before.
Well, I my understanding is, you know, the military establishment, you know, they attack these peoples. They can tell that in the hierarchy of the political scenes have been very struggles, you know, struggle very hard now. Deng Xiaoping, he's a chairman of the military commissioner. He should control everything. But they do have, you know, Zhao Ziyang and the young generation, the provincial governors, they don't want, you know, to have any violence with students. So that's why we can tell, and then already cannot control the whole scenes. That's why the violence is happening.
Now, President Bush escalated or stepped up his verbal barrage today in the wake of what happened over the weekend. He did four things. He cut off military aid to China. He stopped any military contact between the two countries. He offered to review the extension of visas for any Chinese students in America who wanted to stay here because they feared going back to China. And he offered aid to those injured in Saturday's attack. Denny, I think we have to take a break here, and we'll come back and get your view of what the president's done and if it's enough.
All right, we'll be right back. 79 degrees in the Twin Cities, 16 minutes after 7.
Don't miss Swagger Tote Bag Night Friday, June 16th, when the Twins host the Milwaukee Brewers at 7:05. The first 15,000 fans, 15 and older, will take home a large navy blue tote bag compliments of Swagger and the Minnesota Twins. Swagger Tote Bag Night is part of an exciting 10-game homestand at the Metrodome beginning on Friday, June 9th. The Twins open with 2 3-game sets against Chicago and Seattle and conclude the homestand with a 4-game series against Milwaukee. Twin tickets are on sale at the Twins Ticket Office at the Metrodome, the Twins Pro Shop in downtown Minneapolis. Tickets are also available at all Ticketmaster locations, including all Dayton ticket outlets, or call the Twins directly, 375-1116, to charge your tickets on Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. Outside the Metro, call 1-800-THE-TWIN. So don't miss Swagger Tote Bag Night, Friday, June 16th, when the Twins host Milwaukee, 7:05, and catch a season of excitement.
Hi there. Do you remember me? Yes, this is Ruth Kozlak, and I'm back here on WCCO Radio. I have had the baby, and he's the world's sweetest child. My house, of course, was struck by lightning and caught fire, but other than that, there's not too much going on in my life. I guess I'll just hang around here in the afternoons from 1 to 3.
WCCO. 7:18, it is 79 degrees in the Twin Cities. A special program ahead of Twins baseball, the Chinese crisis. Our guest in studio tonight, Rich Holter by my side, along with Rich, Jimmy Ouyang, who's a former University of Minnesota graduate student, something I learned earlier today, that the University of Minnesota has the largest Chinese student population in the United States. Welcome, Jimmy. Also in studio, Professor Ted Farmer, who's chair of the East Asian Studies Department at the University of Minnesota. Among other things, he teaches modern Chinese history. Rich Holter, also in studio. Rich?
Gentlemen, we talked about the president's actions this morning in his news conference. First of all, your views of what the president said, and is it enough?
In the past, 2 weeks, in the campus community, you know, all the Chinese students, they just ask every day, they say, why President Bush was saying anything, you know. Then after 2 weeks, they're waiting for President Bush to already say something. But most of us, you know, say it's not enough. Why? Because, you know, everybody knows, you know, military assistance to the China, it's just a small portion of the total amount. And in this region, the Chinese communists, they want, you know, more than the military. And they can develop things themselves. And the $600 million was for nothing for them. And I think it's too late and too little, you know.
Let me just say, before I get to you, Professor, that I talked to Senator Boschwitz this afternoon. He fully agrees with what the president has done, as do most people on Capitol Hill at this hour. Many of them, and Boschwitz among them, taking the tack, we don't want to cut China off because we then lose any ability we have to impact on what goes on there, and we don't want to cut economic aid because that will hurt the Chinese people as much as the government. Professor, what do you think?
Sure, I disagree with Jimmy a little bit. I think the Bush administration has really done just exactly the right thing. They've got the right tone. They've expressed expressed dismay, expressed support for the students, made the position of the American government clear without making taking any really major policy changes. If you just think back to what happened when the Russians went into Afghanistan and Jimmy Carter suspended grain trade with the Soviet Union and hurt the American farm economy for years, but it didn't do anything to stop the Soviet Union. So I think Bush understands that very well. He's going to wait and see, sit the situation out, not take any precipitous action. I think he's correct.
Well, but I think everybody will recall that when Bush visited China a couple months ago, and then even the Chinese government would not allow the Fang Lizhi, you know, attend his party. You know, if, during that time, after the incident, if Bush can say something or the U.S. government can do something, you know, then Chinese government, he said, okay, we know Americans' attitude, the government's attitude. And in the beginning of this Chinese students' movement, and it recalls, you know, seems to me that American president and administration have nothing to do with that. And that's why encouraged the Chinese communist, you know, regime to do more about, you know, the suppress of the students' movement. That's what I'm saying is too late, you know.
Is there anything in particular that the students would like to see the president do beyond what he's done? I mean, any specific advice?
Well, I mean, now it's better than nothing, but I would say, you know, if President Bush can say earlier, you know, that will give a lot of encouragement to the Chinese students and give some discouragement, you know, to the government.
And now they're probably not hearing what the president has to say.
Oh, I doubt it, you know, because the voice of America has been changed, and they say they can hear very little from our Western world.
Well, the problem, the president's in kind of a dilemma. If you speak out too strongly on what's happening in a foreign country, then the government of that country can turn it around against the students. The students, many of them have been educated abroad. Democracy is really an idea that comes from the West. The government is charging the students with being led and instigated by people like the physicist Fang Lizhi. So the stronger expression from the United States, it seems to me, to some extent can play into the hands of a repressive government. And I think that's being calculated in the White House.
The president said, used a phrase today that I've heard several times, and that is you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And yet this afternoon, Senator Boschwitz, in response to my question about a civil war, said, oh, no. The Chinese people are not in a position to conduct a civil war successfully against the Chinese army. And yet, you seem to think...
Well, you know, if we can recall the Chinese history, and more, I mean, the whole 3,000 years history, they are about, including this one, also include this one, were 52 regimes. And now is a turning point of the whole Chinese history. Because every time, you know, the... okay, we call the revolution, it's all failed, but this time, you know, it's from the bottom to the top. It's not monopoly power being threatened. And people has been changing. The whole wide world have spotlight of the China. And not that before, you know, 2,000 years ago, 200 years ago. So this is a turning point. I'm personally very, you know, I witnessed this change, you know. I'm very happy to see this change. Doesn't matter if students will fail or to succeed. I'm very proud of witness the history. I'm very proud of my, you know, my students, you know, in the China.
Professor, are we headed for a full-fledged civil war?
I would hope not. The indications, the first indications are that the divisions are with them in the military itself. That would be one scenario for opposition to this leadership, would be that elements of the military and then perhaps whole provinces would break away. That's the kind of worst-case scenario. I think the leadership of Deng Xiaoping is so discredited in the mind of the Chinese public and probably members of the Communist Party as well, it'll be very hard for them to hold on very long. It won't last very long, I would say. How violent it is the question we have to wait and see.
Yeah, that, of course, is the big $64,000 question is what kind of a... Having started this way, it seems almost impossible that we could get back to a sitting across the table discussion of the problems. That mm-hmm. was possible a couple of weeks ago, a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. but is that possible anymore?
Well, I think even now, if the worst-case scenario is civil war, the best-case scenario would be for repudiation of Deng Xiaoping and Li Peng by members of the Communist Party, perhaps a move in the Central Committee to bring back the General Secretary, Zhao Ziyang, and to bring back those moderates and have them seize control of the party and, you know, try to clean up the mess, perhaps put people on trial or something. That would be a best-case scenario, working within the Communist Party. If those moderate elements in the Communist Party can't make a comeback, then it's not clear where China's going. People are going to have to oppose the party from the outside. That'll be a long process.